Well, good morning. I hope you guys are excited about today, just being in the presence of God. And what a beautiful day it is out, the 1st of October, and Southeast Michigan's looking pretty good right now, right? But more importantly, I think it's so exciting and refreshing for me to be in the presence, in God's presence with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I pray that as we saw the words that on these couple of videos and then the words that we sang, I hope and pray that you guys really took those in eternally. And that is the cry of your heart, the things that we have observed and have been singing. I trust that you're anticipating God's presence and that we've already encountered Him. It's kind of interesting, before we started the service, we always pray over here and kind of go through the service, but we always, first thing we do is just kind of pray and just really ask God's presence to be here. And we really talk, you know, my prayer is, as well as all of our prayers, is that God would not allow any distractions as we come into His presence. We have this opportunity to enter into God's presence like we are right now, you know. My prayer is that we would literally feel the weight of God's glory. Because I believe that if we would feel the weight of God's glory, everything that could distract us, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be something really, really good. It could be something that we're trying to process through, and it's really got a hold of us. But at the end of the day, those things are all temporal. And as we come into the presence of God, if we can feel the weight of His glory, it literally squeezes out all that temporal human stuff that we may struggle with from day to day. But we have the choice today. You have the choice today to be here fully present in the presence of God. And God has a message for you. And it may come through something that we've sang. It may come through a video. It may come through somebody else, another brother and sister in Christ, saying something to you, or the word that we're going to focus on, or whatever it may be. God has a message for you this morning. Every single one of us sitting here, God has a specific message for you this morning. And I pray that you won't walk out of here today missing that message, but that you will receive that and you will take notice of that and you will take it in internally and you will process that message that God has for you. God is an incredible God, a loving God, a compassionate God, a God full of grace. When we get off point, when we lose our way at times and we become more human, God is so gracious to forgive us and to put us back on the path again and to just love on us again and again and again. I hope we never lose sight of that. I hope you never, ever lose sight of that. I hope we never take that for granted. I hope you never take that for granted that God is who He is. But I pray that as we come into the presence of God, you recognize who God is and that we just offer up our full presence to Him. Every single aspect of our being to Him here this morning. I just want to share with you a couple things we've been talking about, these Big Ten values that we've been talking about the last few weeks. We're looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're talking about building our families and our lives upon that foundation, the Big Ten values, and what that looks like. We live in a world today where those Big Ten values gets questioned every single day. We live in a world now where, and in fact, you can get persecuted, really. I mean, however you want to define the word persecution, we can get persecuted in living out and building our lives and our families upon those Big Ten values. The question becomes, as we talk about these things, as we look into the Word of God, how do you take those in? How do you keep them? Because really, it's a recipe for strong family values is what it is. You want to have a strong family. I mean, they start right there in those Big Ten values. I don't care if you're a grandparent sitting in here. I don't care if you're an empty nester or whatever. You have influence over individuals. You have influence over kids. You have influence over your children. You have influence over other people. That God uses you in a way to influence others for Him, to bring Him glory. Do you build your life on these 10 values, these Big Ten values? I've been talking a lot about this class I want to teach on emotionally healthy spirituality. And I'm telling you guys, and we're going to start it this month. It's coming. I'm just trying to generate interest. And I know I keep talking about, but I'm telling you, if you want to grow spiritually, you want to be a part of this group. It's not because it's something special, but the content of it is very, very powerful. Some of us live in deception. We don't see things. We don't see certain things. And in Proverbs, it talks about iron sharpening iron. We lean on each other for insight, or we should. You know, for someone to lean into us and say, hey, let me share with you some things as we walk together arm in arm with other individuals. We all are living out something. You know, many of us will say, well, I have a Christian worldview. I base my life on that, which is great. But here's the problem that can happen is if we don't have other people in our lives, it's so easy at times to lose a sense of self-awareness. A few weeks ago, I talked about the difference between Augustine and a guy by the name of Pelagio, right? Pelagio said, now that Christ went to the cross, we have the ability, going back to the original sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, we have the ability to discern right and wrong, to make a decision right then and there, okay? Which there's truth into that. Constantine came on his heels and said this, I'm so depraved that there's times I don't even know what's right and wrong. There's times where I struggle with it and I lose that sense of self-awareness. And I'm putting it in my own words. I lose that sense of self-awareness. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need, you know, so Constantine, all he's saying, he's amping it up and he's saying, man, this is so much deeper than that. Yes, we have the ability or the choice to do right or wrong, or the ability to stand and to make a decision for what's right or for what's wrong. But the problem is, at times, we lose self-awareness. And that's so easy that can happen. This class, we address that. We address this concept of self-awareness. Have you ever had one of those moments, what we call an aha moment, where something shoots across your radar, where someone says something where, and regardless of where it comes from, you have this moment where it's like this revelation and this epiphany comes crashing down over top of you, and you're like, wow, I've never seen that before. Have you ever been reading the Bible, and you read the same passage over and over and over again, and at some point it jumps off the page, and you're like, wow, I have read that so many times, and I just connected with that. And then you have someone on the other side that says, duh, right? No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully you don't do that. But that's what that is. There are times where our self-awareness is off. It's void. We don't have it. And we need to really think about that and lean into it. This class will help us really begin to see those things. So when we talk about the big 10 values found in the Bible, the 10 commandments and building our lives on those, as I've been sharing with you, every single one of us lives by a set of values. And some of your values may even trump the big 10 values. Now you would never say that, but if you would step back and take a big look, a big panoramic view, there's times where they do take precedence over what God says. That's a problem. And that can be a problem or something. The sad thing is some of us have been living our lives in that state and we don't see it. And unless we put ourselves in a certain position, we're never going to have that aha moment that says, I get it now. I need to really take a critical look at this. It's going to be a fun class, and I'm not just promoting it because of that. I'm promoting it because it goes hand in hand with what we're talking about in the context of this series, the Big Ten Values. So we're going to continue today talking about these values. The last couple of weeks, we talked about not having any other God before God. The very first one, you can't have any other God before me. I'm a jealous God. I am the only God there is. And that's just how it is. Number two was not to worship idols, not to have any idols in our lives. And last week we talked about what? God's name, taking God's name in vain. And we looked at that and we said, you know, it's so much bigger than just verbally saying God's name. It's so much bigger than that, but it's how we represent God. As a follower of Christ, and if someone knows I'm a follower of Christ, how do I represent God? And, you know, when people look at my life, what do they see? How do I represent God? God says, do not misrepresent me. I am not a God to be misrepresented. Today we're going to look at one, and consequently, if you really look at this in the Ten Commandments, does any of you know real quick what's coming next in the Ten Commandments? And shout it out. The Sabbath. Exactly, the Sabbath. Remember to keep the Sabbath day. It's quite interesting when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we have the Ten Commandments, and even back in Exodus, but we have these in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. If you take a look at it, out of all the commandments, this one gets a lot of words. God kind of unpacks this one a little bit more. Now, let's look there real quick and let's read it. Let's look at it and read it. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Go clear to the beginning of the Bible. Please, if you're not bringing your Bible, please grab your Bible and bring it with you. Grab the one out of the back of the pew. But I'm going to read verse 12 here that talks about keeping the Sabbath day holy. Okay? In verse 12 of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, listen to what God says through Moses. Be careful to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Okay? Pretty much covers everybody, right? Keep this day holy. Well, one question I would have is, what does it mean to keep something holy? What does holy mean? Holy means when someone says, when God says, I'm holy, it means there's nothing else remotely like me. Okay? Holy means set apart. It means there's not something else that, well, that's kind of like that one. We can compare these two together. They're kind of the same. Not when they're holy. If something's holy, it means they're kind of set apart. They're unique unto themselves. God said, you know, and remember when they had the, tabernacle and it was a nomadic structure. They would come in and set up this tabernacle, and God was very, very, very specific about the measurements of it, what went in it, how this looked, how this was, because every single thing in that tabernacle played a certain role. Why? Because that was God's representation of himself with his people. Okay? This is before the Holy Spirit, where now God lives inside of his followers. But the temple or the tabernacle at that time was where God resided. Not completely, but that's where in people's minds, that's the tabernacle, that's the presence of God. Once a year, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. Remember that? Once a year, the priest would go in there and atone for the sins of all the people, right? And so he would go in there once a year. Why once a year? That's how God instructed it. And he would go in and present a sacrifice that would cover the sins of all the people. He would go behind the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant sat. And on the Ark of the Covenant, if you studied that, there were two cherubims or two angels or whatever. And right where their wings would kind of come up, almost touch, that was where the presence of God resided. This place was called the Holy of Holies because it was beyond anything like it. It was like the uniqueness of the unique, okay? It was like nothing was like this whatsoever. In fact, if a priest would go in there, he would have to really ensure that he was all, you know, living in a state where he could go behind the Holy of Holies. This place was so powerful because God told him, you're not coming back here, you're not supposed to go in the Holy of Holies or your life will be taken. And in fact, the priests on their robes would attach little bells. You've probably heard the story. They would attach these little bells, sew these little bells around the garment of the priest. And they would literally tie a rope around the priest, and he would go back behind the curtain to the Holy of Holies to do the sacrifice. And there would be someone out here on the backside, kind of behind this curtain right here, on the other end of this rope. And if they would not hear the bells jingling, they knew he was dead, and they would pull him out. That's how holy it was. The Holy of Holies. God says, the Sabbath day, I want you to keep it holy. Real quick, growing up, how many of you grew up in the church? Okay, guys, this is participation time. You guys shout it out. Do you guys remember when it's kind of funny when we say you remember, Sundays, when I was growing up, was like the day you're supposed to not do anything, right? How many of you guys remember that? Do you guys remember the blue laws? We talked about that a little bit in our class. I grew up in West Virginia where they had the blue laws. All the stores were shut down, except for like a drugstore, I believe. But then in the drugstore, they would have it sanctioned off to where you couldn't go. The only thing you could buy was medicine. I don't even think you could buy groceries at the time. Do you guys remember that? Were you guys that spiritual here in Southeast Michigan? Huh? Yeah, okay. That's why West Virginia is almost heaven, right? Okay. Thank you. I'm here all week, people. I'm here all week. But I remember growing up as a kid, you know, you'd have to drive to Belpre, Ohio, which was just right across the river, if you wanted to cheat and buy some stuff. Now, we never did that, right? So, but anyhow, do you guys remember the blue laws? Were there blue laws here, right? What were some of the things your parents said to do on the Saturday, what you could do on Sunday and what you couldn't do? Could you guys cut grass? What could you do? What's some of the, I mean, or couldn't do? You could nap, right? Okay. It was a day of rest, right? All right, exactly. What else? You could eat dinners. You ate dinner as a family. You made other people kind of work, though, right? But at home. Yeah, right. But even other people had to prepare the meal, right? Because we didn't do it the night before, right? You went to church morning and night, right? Exactly. I mean, you know, if we grew up in the church, would you guys say, and I want to be very careful here, but would you guys say, like, kind of growing up, there were times the Sabbath day kind of became, you know, just, I want to throw it out there, just kind of bear with me here, kind of became legalistic. It kind of became like, this is what you do and don't do. And you kind of got to the point, I mean, there was kind of a point to where it was like, okay, I get this, but then we're kind of, you know, what can you do, what can't you do? And that's kind of like what the Pharisees had with Jesus, because Jesus kind of crossed that line, right? And Jesus said this. He said, the Sabbath was created for man. Man wasn't created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for man, indicating that man needed to rest. Man needed to rest. Okay? Now, let's look at Isaiah. Here's a very interesting passage in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Listen to these words in regards to the Sabbath. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. If you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, from doing whatever you want on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, or talking too much, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. And I will make you ride over the heights of the land, and you enjoy the heritage, and let you enjoy the heritage of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God says, I want you to have a Sabbath. I want you to rest. I think we kind of talked a little bit about this, and Sabbath literally means day of rest, okay? The Sabbath. It literally means the day of rest. I think, we were talking back in the group that that I'm part of before the service, and we kind of talked about this. This Sabbath thing really comes down to an issue of trust, I think. I think it's a sense of trust and a sense of rest, too, because I think God knows that I don't think our bodies were designed to work 7 days a week. I just don't. I was reading some stuff, preparing for the message, and someone made this point, and I thought it was very interesting. They said this, if you don't observe the Sabbath, you will observe the Sabbath. And not like at the end of the time when God sets up his kingdom, but you will observe the Sabbath, because at some point our bodies will break down to the point where you will observe, you will just, you ever had that moment where something physically happens where you can't do anything, you just have to lay there and it drives us insane? It drives us crazy after a while? Some of us look at it and say, man, that would be kind of relaxing, that would be enjoyable. And then after you're there for a little while, you're like, I'm going stir crazy. But here's the point. Our bodies weren't designed to work 6 or 7 days a week, or 7 days a week. God said, God built this in so that we would have rest, so that we would learn to trust Him. If we would go back and read the story of the Exodus, okay? The story of the Exodus. You remember when they came out, God was supplying them food, and He was raining down manna at certain times, quail, that kind of stuff. He was giving them food. And what did He tell them? You are to gather enough food for what? That day. That's all you have to gather. Remember, Jesus even teaching the Lord's Prayer, give us our day, our daily bread, that day. I want you to take that day, and that's it. Because, and he said, what would happen if they would take more than enough to try to store it up? You remember the story? What would happen? It would spoil, get rotten. Again, there was the Sabbath. He would tell them to take, what, double or something like that? Very specific on what to take. You couldn't take even more than what he said. But for the Sabbath, you were to prepare And then that was the only time you're supposed to take more, because if you took more, it would become rotten, full of maggots and all this other stuff. Don't you think God was teaching him to say, trust me? I've proven myself all along. I have done all these things. Can't you see? I mean, I've done these things over and over and over again. I find it very fascinating that when God makes the covenant with the people and he says, you're my people, he says, you know, he's teaching them to trust him. He could have been a God to say, you know what? I created you. This is what you're going to do. I don't care. Don't ask questions, because this is it. And if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. But God, out of his love, grace, and mercy and all these things, he time after time after time after time proved himself to be faithful, proved himself to be trustworthy, to the point where, you know, it was like, you know, it should have been kind of like a no-brainer for them to just say, you know what, God has gotten us this far. Why don't we just trust God? Our shoes didn't wear out. Our clothes didn't wear out. God always provided food. He always provided everything for us. I believe the Sabbath was created for man to rest. When I say man, can I just say this? I know I've said it before. Man means mankind, okay? I think when God created the Sabbath for the man, it was to say, you need to trust me. Trust me. And rest. Take time off. Rest. Don't do anything. Just rest. Okay? How many of you think that would be really hard to do if we would take just a day and not plan a single thing but rest? How many of you think that would be hard? None of you think it'd be hard? A few of us, right? I think it'd be very difficult. Now, here's the other side of it, guys. This isn't a legalistic. Legalistic means that God created this for us to rest. It doesn't mean that we have to sit here and think through all the, well, if I rest, that means I'm planning to rest. Does that mean that I've just, you know, nullified the whole thing? I mean, seriously, look, can we move beyond that? This isn't a legalistic issue. It's an issue where we look at it and say, God's providing and asking us to keep a day holy. Some of us may work on Sunday. We would say, well, Sunday's the Sabbath. We recognize Sunday as the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So the Christian practice of Sunday really roots back to the resurrection, okay? I believe God's a God that says, take a Sabbath. Some of us may have to work on Sundays from time to time, but that doesn't mean we can't take a Sabbath on another day where we cease from all other chores, all other work things, and we just relax. We just rest in Him. We just find this sense of peace and comfort within Him. So, Sabbath means day of rest. Listen to what Mark 2:27, Jesus says this, the Sabbath was made for man and not for the Sabbath, as I've already been kind of sharing with you. So, real quick, let's get to the practical side of things. How do we keep the Sabbath? Because that can be hard, right? How do we keep the Sabbath? We said, you know what? This is important value for me to teach my kids. This is important value for me to embrace as a follower of Christ. How do I keep the Sabbath? How do I build on this Big Ten value? What does that look like? I think there's three things that we could do that would help us really keep the Sabbath. And it all has to do with unplugging. Literally unplugging. The first one is this. Unplugging mentally. I mean, literally unplugging. It says in Psalm 127:2, if in vain early, it says, if in vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food, yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. If it's in vain, you get up early and you stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. Do you kind of get that? This is the way we do things. In our minds, it's like, well, we got to do this. We got to prepare. We got to do these things for this. At the end of the day, it's when we just simply trust and implicitly trust God. God, my life is in your hands. God, I trust you with my finances. I trust you with my time. I trust you with everything, and I don't want to think about things. I just want to unplug mentally. Literally unplug mentally. What would it look like for you guys to unplug mentally? And don't say you've already unplugged mentally, right? But what would it look like to unplug mentally? To say, you know what? I'm not going to think about work. I'm not going to think about things that are off God. I'm going to take a day of rest, and I'm going to focus on just resting and doing just whatever it is I want to do, just relax. And again, I started reading some of this stuff, and when I was studying for this message, I started reading some other authors just talking about keeping a Sabbath. And after a while, I'm like, am I reading hippie stuff here? You know? Because they're talking about, you know, burn a candle, kind of sit back and do these things. And to the point to where it really caught me to think, I'm missing the point. The point is that we do just unplug mentally. Just literally unplug mentally, where we just, the only thing we're going to think about is just relaxing in the presence of God. Guys, I feel the way you're looking at me right now. Okay? Preparing for this message, it sounds that crazy, doesn't it? To unplug mentally. It sounds that crazy. I think it would be very difficult for every single one of us sitting in here to say, this week, I'm going to take a day, if not the rest of this day, and unplug mentally. That means if I want to go sit and read a book, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to think about other things. I, for me, am going to unplug mentally. I'm not going to worry myself about my husband or my wife or others that I can kind of uncheck from. But I'm going to unplug mentally and keep this Sabbath and just literally relax. Do you know what happens when we unplug mentally like that? We are able, literally, to come back charging whatever we have to deal with. We are literally able to come back with all kinds of mental fervor because we've let our brains off the hook. We've unplugged. Isn't it amazing there are times where you're trying to figure something out and you're thinking about it constantly. It's just on your mind always. And there's a point where you say, you know what, I'm done. I can't think of anything. I'm checking out. I'm at a spot where I can't think anymore about this. And we unplug, we check out. What happens then? A solution pops up in your head afterwards, like later on, maybe the next day. It all comes together. And you're like, holy cow, I've been beating my head against the wall for I don't know how long. I think that's taking a Sabbath. From the perspective of unplugging mentally. The next one is unplug emotionally. Well, what does that look like? I think if we would take a look at Psalm 23, just even reading the whole 23rd Psalm, we could have used that for this message today. But unplugging emotionally, listen to this. In the second part of the verse 2, it says this, He leads me beside quiet waters. You know how relaxing that sounds? Now some of you, I'm a nature person. I like to get out in the nature. I like to hunt. And one of the things I love about hunting is just being out in nature. It's like it is so quiet. I don't know what it is. I really honestly believe it gets back to creation. And it's like you sit out in the woods and your mind just kind of unchecks and your emotions kind of just, I don't know what it is, man. It's so cathartic for me to go out into nature. And when you read this and it says, He leads me beside quiet waters. That's what God does. He leads us into those spots. The question becomes, on a Sabbath, we unplug mentally, are we able to see where God has led us? Okay? Where God has taken us. Where God said, here, I want you to uncheck. I want you to unplug. I want you to just be still. Just be still and know that I'm God. Someone ought to write that in the Bible, right? Be still and know that I'm God. Unplugging. Our Sabbath. Unplugging mentally. Unplugging emotionally. And then last, unplugging vocationally. Now this is one that can get us all. Unplugging vocationally. Meaning that we're not going to do anything that pertains to work per se. But it's something that we're just going to take time, just unplug and just focus on recharging our batteries on that particular day. Listen to what the verse says in Mark 8:36. For what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life? Does that kind of hit you at home? Because some of us would really preach against this. I can't take a Sabbath. I've got all this stuff going on. I can't mentally check out. I can't emotionally check out. I cannot vocationally check out for even a day. Even though God tells me to do that. I can't do that. Jesus says, okay. All right. What you think is going to benefit you, you may gain the whole world. Whatever it is that you're going after, man. That tiger you're going after and you're grabbing by the tail, man. Whatever it is, you may grab a hold of it. But you're going to, in the process, lose your life. I think God's saying, take the Sabbath. Unplug. Unplug vocationally, mentally, emotionally, and rest in me. Rest in me. Do you know what this would teach your children? You know what, parents, those of us that have young kids, do you know what this would teach our children if we would start right now and say, you know what, on this day, whatever day you choose to do, we're going to take it and we're unplugging. We're unplugging iPads. We're unplugging all of our technology, everything. The Wi-Fi goes down. We're going off the grid, right? And we're going to spend a few moments doing some devotions with God, and we're just going to have fun. I've read some stuff which, and we try to do that too, but it's not like a practice that we're in. But I can't, you know, I've read stuff where families have done that, where they said, we're going to observe a Sabbath every single week. And this is what we're doing. Everything's going down. We're going off the grid. And we're going to either go hiking, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But we are really going to just spend that time focusing on God and then just focusing on relaxing and resting as a family. The kids absolutely become excited for that day. Because what happens? They have quality time with their parents. Interesting, isn't it? Keeping the Sabbath holy. God knows what He's talking about. God knows what He's talking about. Some of us may be sitting in here this morning right now, grinding our teeth, because we want to argue this. And you can argue. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I believe God has placed things within our lives where He knows the best for us. He created us. I think a lot of times we trump that and we think we know what's best for ourselves. And the next thing you know, our families, our relationships with our families are destroyed, or other relationships or whatever, because we just can't take time to unplug or whatever it may be. But God says, take time. Take time. I get that this is Old Testament. Some may say, well, now you're preaching Old Testament message. We live in the age of grace. I still believe that Jesus supported having a Sabbath. When you go back to the Old Testament times, this was a very serious thing that God instructed the people. I find it very interesting, too, that oftentimes we take the Old Testament and we kind of say, well, we live in the New Testament now. And it's like all this stuff we read back here where God's establishing Himself and God's showing, you know, men and women how to live their lives. It's almost as if we say, well, that doesn't count anymore, okay? We were even looking at some of the prophets today. And the prophets would come, and they would, if God had a message for a people, and I've shared this with you before, if God had a message for the people, He would send prophets to say, look, you got to listen to this. Just like with Isaiah, He was speaking through the prophet Isaiah. The southern kingdom went into captivity for 70 years. And the reason why they got taken over by Babylon for 70 years was God said, you did not let the land rest for its Sabbaths. God said, this is serious, and you're going to get punished for that. And they got punished for that. Now, I'm not saying that God's still punishing us when we miss out on the Sabbath. I think we punish ourselves. But my point is, I believe that God has set a pattern in Scripture that a lot of times we argue with, and we say, you know what, God, I know what's better for my life. Thank you, but I know what's better for my life. And the next thing you know, we're doing marriage counseling, or you're physically broken down, or, you know, you're laying on your deathbed. And I can't tell you how many times that I've done funerals, or I've been with families at that time in life. And you talk to the person and they're getting ready to cross from this side to the next. And one of the things they say is this: I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back. And I've yet to hear someone say, I wish I could go back and have picked up two or three more jobs so I could have bought in that RV, went back, whatever, to, you know, whatever. I've never heard someone say that. But I've heard time and time people saying, I wish I could go back and spend time with my kids. I wish I could go back and do it over. I wish I would have valued this time in my life more the way God wanted me to value this particular time in my life. guys, we don't have to wish. Let's implement. Let's take up God on His word. Let's take up God on His word and put this Big Ten value in our lives now. Build it in now. Build it in with our grandkids. Build it in with our children. Build it in with our spouse, our wives, our spouses and things. Whatever it is, we have time. We're still breathing. We've got time to live out these principles that God has given us. Jesus says, "I've come and I've come to give life." And I think that refers to eternal life, but I also believe that refers to life, where we truly understand what it means to have life. The fulfillment of life in itself. God's got a message for us today. Let's take a rest. Take a rest. Don't put gods before me. Don't bow down to other idols, which consequently, I think, if we don't keep the Sabbath, what are we doing? We're bowing down to other idols is what we're doing, that we believe is going to yield something that they can never yield. Don't build idols. Don't misuse my name. Keep the Sabbath holy. When you look at the Ten Commandments, if the worship team would come back up and lead us into another couple songs. When you look at the Ten Commandments, it's quite interesting when you can break them up. Because you can read the first few Ten Commandments, and it deals with this vertical relationship with God, okay? And then you look at the next so many commandments, and they deal with the horizontal relationship with mankind. Here's the problem. If we don't get this vertical intact, if our vertical relationship is off with God, it's going to be off with mankind too, okay? If this is off, there's no way this is going to be set in place. This has to be in place before this can be in place. These are Big Ten values. These are values that will make a tremendous impact within your lives. I pray that these values are not aspirational values that says, I'll get to them one of these days. Yes, 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 I'm planning on having Sabbath. Yes, I'm planning on doing this. Yes, and they're all aspirational. I pray that with us there would be actual values where we say, you know what? I'm, with my family, going to plan this. I'm going to do this. This is what it looks like, and this is what's happening within my life now. I pray that you would, again, just lean into what God has for you this morning and that message He has for you. We're going to sing a song, and I pray that you would just use it as a time of response. Whether God's calling you to maybe come and pray and let some of the elders come and pray with you if you would like, or whatever. Maybe you'll make a response there in your seat. I don't know, but use this time as a response to God reaching out to you. Let me, if you would, I want you to stand with me. Let me lead us into a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much that you're a God that, it sounds weird to even pray this, but you're a God that truly knows us. Perhaps there's times where we don't even believe that. Because sometimes when you look at our lives, it really doesn't give evidence to that. But Father, you know us inside and out. You know what we need. You created us. You created us to have this deep trust relationship with you. And I pray that's what would happen here this morning with each and every one of us in this room. Regardless if we've been following you for years or we've just started a journey or someone's going to start that journey today by submitting their life to you, surrendering their life to you. That we would understand that you know us and the things that you have for us, the ways that you have spelled out for us, the way you have instructed us to live, that's what truly brings life. That's truly what we're searching for. That, Father, we would have this sense of self-awareness to see that that's what we are looking for. And I pray that we would grab a hold of that here this morning. Strengthen us, encourage us, convict us. Father, just do your thing right now through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would find willing and humble hearts right now. not hearts of resistance, not hearts that are frustrated and hard and stiff, but hearts that are open, that have a fertile ground where your seed can fall and begin to grow into that which you want, that which you're planting inside of us. We give you this time, Father, and we pray all of this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.